Praise the Lord, everybody. Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. Thank you once again. The man who saved us, his name is Jesus. And we have come to worship him because he's worthy of our praise. What a wonderful, wonderful song that leads us into this moment where we are able to bless the name of Jesus. Amen. 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 God is so good. And he's blessed us one more time. Thank God. Thank you, praise team, for reminding us that we must wait on the Lord. We've got to wait on the Lord. And if we wait on the Lord, the Bible says he will renew our strength. If we ever keep him before us, he will keep us in perfect peace. And so today, I am so thankful once again to be here on this beautiful Sabbath morning, our afternoon. It is about 12:11, and we're worshiping the Lord. And we thank God for his grace and his mercy, because it endures forever and ever and ever. And I just want to say once again, God has blessed all of us. I don't know what you've gone through this week. Don't know what you're going to go through next week. But I do know this. You serve a God who will never leave you, who will never forsake you. He's with you always, even until the end of the world. And you've got to trust and obey, because there's no other way to be happy in Jesus. And that's why we're here today, because we're making another installment on our grace giving. God has blessed us. I know he has. And we're going to wait on the Lord, because the Lord is going to bless us. We will mount up with wings like eagles, and we're going to praise him and bless him and honor him and worship him. And this is just the tip of the iceberg. In fact, this is just rehearsal. What we're doing right now is going to go to another level when we go to glory. And that's why it's important now to learn how to tune your praise right now, so that when you get to heaven, it will not be a warm-up. This is the warm-up right now. And so we're learning how to bless God even in the midst of it. And you know, if you can praise God while you're going through hell, can you imagine what it's going to be like when you are in glory with no harassment, no pain, no sickness, no heartache, no funerals, no death, no appointment? Miss, I imagine when we get to glory, it's going to be just an awesome privilege that we will have to worship God throughout eternity. And I'm blessing God because of that today. And I want to thank God. Also, we want to remind you today we have, you know, Brittany and Kent. I was told last night they had a baby girl. She sings in the praise team, and they had a baby girl. Why don't you put your hands together for them today as we thank the Lord. She was carrying that baby around for a while. And you know, when you carry a baby for a while, you got to eventually deliver that baby. And she was delivered. She came last night. And so we look forward to seeing that beautiful bundle of joy. And we want to remember them in prayer as well. We thank God for Daph, I guess, also Sophie. They had a child also, and they're going to help the church grow. The Bible says the Lord added to the church such as should be saved. And so the young folk are going to come, and we thank God for that. And so again, we want to welcome you. If you're here, anybody here for the first time? You're here for the first time. We want to welcome you, all right? God bless you. Thank you for coming. Be a good friend. God bless you. Anybody else, you're glad to be in the house. You're here for the first time. And the reason why I ask that is because sometimes I'm here, and then I'm at the other church. You're a two-church district, Mars Hill, that's in Sanford, and then I come here. And I asked somebody, have you been here before? And I'm thinking, because I haven't seen them the last time, they say, yeah, I've been here. You haven't been here. And so that's the problem. But I want you to know that I'm glad you're here. Thank you again, Randall, also, and my drummer. Thank you for the blessings you brought to us today. And we're just delighted to be here. And thank God for another Sabbath. JoJo could not be here today. She's handling my grandson, holding him down. And I want to thank God for that. She's not with us, but she sends her love and her regards. And she wants you to know that she's praying for you and she loves you. And thank God for each of you also. Well, let's go ahead and get into the Word of God today. If you don't mind, would you just stand with me as we turn to Matthew chapter 14? I ask you to stand, because just in case you might get a little weary and fall asleep, at least you can stretch yourself right now. Amen. Amen. Matthew chapter 14. We're going to look at chapter 14. And I'm going to begin reading verse 22, Matthew chapter 14. And we're going to read for our scripture reading in honor of God's word. We appreciate you standing. Might as well just stretch on. The Bible says, and you'll be sitting for the next few moments, but just the word of God says in Matthew chapter 14, the word of God says from the New King James Version of the Bible, immediately Jesus made his disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side. And while he sent the multitude away, And when he had sent the multitude away, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. Now when evening came, he was alone there. But the boat was now in the middle of the sea, tossed by the waves, for the wind was contrary. For in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went to them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It is a ghost." And they cried out for fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, "Be of good cheer, it is I. Do not be afraid." And Peter answered him and said, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." So he said, "Come." And when Peter had come down out of the boat, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw that the wind was boisterous, he was afraid and beginning to sink. He cried out, saying, "Lord, save me." He said, what, everybody? "Lord, save me." And immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and caught him and said to him, "O you of little faith, why did you doubt?" And when they got into the boat, the wind ceased. And then those who were in the boat came and worshiped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." Let's bow our heads for prayer. Father God, again today we're thankful and we're blessed to be in this moment right now. You have kept us through another week. And we're now on this zenith, the apex, the mountain, this Sabbath you have given us. And we know it's because of your grace we've been kept thus far. And now as we open your word, we ask that you would speak to us. We ask that you would make it so plain and simple that a child could not err. In fact, God, we pray that you'll make the word so plain that if we are lost, God forbid, it will have to be decision and not deception. Speak to us, we pray. And we will give you the glory, and we will magnify your name. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. You may be seated. Amen. Praise the Lord for the word of God. I'm grateful and thankful that we have the word of God. As you already know, we are living in some difficult times. In fact, today's message is entitled, In Life Storms. Have you ever been through a storm? Have you ever been through difficult times? Have you ever found yourself with your back against a wall, not knowing what to do or where to turn? Have you ever discovered that in life sometimes you find it's ebbs and flows, that it's up and down? There are some high moments in your life that you thank God for and you praise God because he brought you through and brought you out. But then there are other times you find yourself in the valley feeling depressed and discouraged, down and out, wondering how you're going to make it. And sometimes life throws us blows, and sometimes they're body blows, sometimes they're head blows, and it's enough to knock anybody out. But I'm so glad today that we serve a God who promised to walk with us in the valley of the shadow of death. He promised to never leave us or leave us alone. He said, "I'm with you always, even until the end of the world." And I don't know about you, but I've discovered that no matter what you do and how you do it, sometimes situations turn and we find ourselves with our backs against the wall. In our text today, we find that Jesus is in the text. And the word of God says immediately. Now, I want you to remember when it says immediately in verse 22, there was a reason. In fact, in Matthew chapter 14, several things have already gone down. In Matthew chapter 14, Jesus loses his first cousin. The Bible says Herod did not like him because he called his sins out. And Herodias wanted the head of John the Baptist. And John the Baptist was beheaded. And Jesus, the Bible says in verse 12, when the disciples came and told him, they went to Jesus. And again, Jesus departed. I don't know about you how I could have divine restraint. I don't know how someone with so much power and then somebody tells you that your cousin was beheaded when you have all the power in the universe. I don't know the divine restraint that somebody, I mean, can you imagine Jesus, the Son of God with all omnipotent power, with power to speak worlds into existence, power to stand on nothing and speak to nothing and nothing becomes something. I mean, power to give breath to those who are clay. I mean, to be able to open up blind eyes and unstop deaf ears, to have all of that power at your fingertips, knowing that someone comes and tells you that your cousin was murdered by a emperor and you don't do anything about it. That must be divine restraint. I mean, God could have stepped in. God could have stopped it. God could have intervened. But sometimes if God doesn't intervene, it must be for a greater reason. And I want to say to us today that if there's something going on in your life right now that you don't understand and you're wondering why God does not step in, it's because God sees the end from the beginning and there's a reason why he doesn't step in. But I want you to know he sees all and he knows all, and there's not one problem that you will ever go through that is not touched by God. We are his image. We are made in his image, and whenever something happens to you, it happens to God, because he is touched with the feelings of our infirmities, and he knows how much we can bear. And if we learn how to look to him and trust him, he will carry us through. But there are times when you do the right thing that you think that you're doing the right thing, and you figure doing the right thing may have right results. You know how it is when you say, well, I don't know why this is happening to me. I don't understand why I'm going through this. I don't understand why me. I've done everything God asked me to do. I've crossed T's. I've dotted I's. And I don't know why I'm going through this. You know, and there's some ebbs and some flows, because, see, right after he's told that his cousin was beheaded, the word of God says he went alone to be by himself. But even going by himself, he was not left alone. The multitude heard that Jesus was there, and the word of God says they came on foot and from cities to find out where he was. In other words, Jesus could not even have time to mourn. He didn't even have time to go somewhere and say, wow, I lost my cousin. He went away, and the word of God says in Matthew 14, verse 12 and 13, when Jesus heard it, he departed from there by boat to a desert, to a deserted place by himself. But when the multitude heard it, they followed him on foot from the cities. In other words, Jesus had a way of always attracting people. And no matter what it is, he always had a way of bringing people to him. And that's why I don't care how bad your situation is, when you come to Jesus, he will always have an answer. He will never turn you away. He will never be too busy. He will never be too caught up with something else. And even in his own despair, the word of God says when Jesus went out and saw the multitude, he had compassion on them. You know, in other words, he was not always looking inward. He was always thinking about somebody else. He was always thinking of how he could bless somebody. He was always thinking about how he can lift somebody up. And there, right here in the text, the word of God says he was moved with compassion for them, and he healed their sick. You know, if Jesus could have said, now look, I just lost my cousin, and I'm not feeling that today. You know how we go through something and we become self-centered, and all of a sudden we look inward and we think about only our problems and our situation, and we fail to realize that you're not by yourself. Somebody else is going through a situation as well. In fact, somebody else could be worse off than you, and somebody else could be going through a valley, and all they need is a smile. All they need is a handshake. All they may need is a hug. Sometimes the only way to get better, you got to look beyond yourself, and you've got to see somebody else and begin to move on their sickness or their issue or their problem. And the word of God says Jesus, he was moved with compassion, which means it was something on the inside that caused him to be concerned about people. And that's what God wants us to do. He wants us as a people to become concerned about people, to the point where the word says he was there all night, all day long, until the evening come. And the disciples said, you might as well go ahead and send them away, because this is a desert place and the hour is already late. So send the multitude away. Now watch what the Bible says. The word of God says, but Jesus said to them, don't send them away. We're going to bless them. We're going to feed them. And the word says, while he was there, now remember now, John the Baptist just lost his head. And now there's some ups and there's some downs. All of us are going to have ups and some downs in life. Now, right now, you might be up. You ought to praise God. You ought to thank God. You ought to bless his holy name. But let me tell you something. You live long enough, there are going to be some valleys. You're going to go through something. I remember on last week when Chiron was talking about, even from January to now, how death has come in his own family. Four funerals going to down in Jamaica, and how there are people who are going through hardship and sickness, and people who have lost their lives, people who have lost their homes, people who have lost their jobs. It's going to always be like that in life. As long as we're in this world, we're going to have tribulation. We're going to have problems. We're going to have anxiety and trials and situations. But we've got to learn how to look to Jesus and understand that he has an answer for every problem or every difficulty that arises in our life. Because sometimes when difficult arise, we are surprised that the Lord will allow them to come in the first place. I'm a Christian. I'm doing the right thing. How is it that God will allow me to go through this? I want you to know there's a reason why you're going through it. And such thinking assumed. Now, when we have a thought like that, we assume that being on obedient, we're exempt from problems. In other words, because I'm doing the right thing, God, I should get a pass. I shouldn't have to go through this. I shouldn't have to experience this. I shouldn't have to go through this pain. In fact, then there are other believers who automatically assume that if trouble comes, that they're the problem, that I must have done something wrong in my life. Maybe I didn't do right, and now God is paying me back. In other words, there are two sides of the coin. Either I think that I'm doing right, and when bad things happen, I'm wondering why, or I'm not doing right, and bad things happen, and I want to blame myself. And even though God does use trials to correct us from time to time, not all difficulties result from sin and failure in our lives. But he can always use all situations to mature us and conform us to his likeness. So no matter what it is, whatever situation you is, God can use that situation. He can use that problem. He can use the obstacle. See, what the devil meant for harm, God will use for good. And in the text, the word of God says, Jesus says, I want them to sit down, bring the little boy's lunch. And he takes a lunch in Matthew 14, verse 17. And they said to him, we're here. We don't have anything. And Jesus says, bring that boy's lunch. And there's something that he did in verse 19 that I want you to see. Verse 19, it says, then he commanded the multitude to sit down on the grass. And the word says he did four things that ought to bless our souls. First of all, he took the bread, the Bible says. He blessed the bread. He broke the bread and he gave the bread away. So let me say that again. In other words, Jesus, in this text, feeding the multitude right before he tells his disciples to get into a boat, he feeds 5,000 people and they are blessed. But notice how he does it. The word says in verse 19, he took five loaves and two fish, and looking up to heaven, he blessed it, he broke it, and gave the bread away. I want to say that again because that is exactly how God uses the process in our lives. No matter what you're going through, I want you to see the process. Notice the process. I'm saying it again. Notice the process of how God uses difficult moments and storms in our lives. The Bible says he took the bread, number one. He blessed the bread, number two. He broke the bread, number three. And then he gave the bread away. Now, what are you saying, preacher? That's exactly what he did on the road of Emmaus when the disciples recognized who he was after he did this process. The word of God says when he met them, he took some bread and he blessed the bread, he broke the bread, and he gave the bread away. And then he did the same thing in the upper room. He took some bread and he blessed the bread and he broke the bread and he gave the bread away. I want you to remember that. Don't forget the process. In other words, God breaks bread the same way. He took the bread, he blessed the bread, then he broke the bread, and then he gave the bread away. Oh, I'm not scratched. I just want you to get this. In other words, what God does in our lives, just like he does here, he took the bread, he blessed the bread, he broke the bread, and he gave the bread away. Now, what does that mean to me? What does that mean in my life? Well, let me tell you something. What God did to all of us, once we were in darkness, once we were lost in sin, not knowing which way to go, but I'm so glad that the good hound of heaven sniffed out our tracks, found us in our mess, pulled us out of the vomit of our own doing, and then he took the bread. He took us from darkness. He took us from a life of sin. Aren't you glad about it? I don't know about you, but I once was lost, but now I'm found. Amazing grace, how sweet it sounds. In other words, God took us from life. He took us, and then notice what the word says. He blessed us. Have you been blessed by God? Has God blessed you? I can tell right now he's blessed you because you're here in your right mind breathing. You're not 6 feet under. You did not go to a hospital. You didn't have to go to a funeral home. You're here. So God bless you. And not only does God bless you, but then after God blesses you. Now, this is the part we don't like. After God blesses us, then he has to break us. I don't know about you, but I hate breaking. Oh, I hate to go through some trials and tribulations. I hate to go through hardship. But that's what God does in the life of a believer. I want you to see it now. God took you from sin. And you know, many of us, you know what we say? Well, when I was out there, I didn't have all these problems. You know, that's what people say. Well, it wasn't until I got into the church that I started having all these issues. When I was out there doing my own thing, I might have been miserable. I might have been upset and messed up, but you know, at least I'm not having all the problems that I'm having now since I've joined the church and since the Lord took me out of sin and since the Lord brought me into a place of worship. Maybe it's because now you've got to understand that God took you, he blessed you, and in order to make you what he wants to make you, then he has to break you. Amen. Now, breaking comes when trials come into your life. And trials are given in the school of Christ to purify us from the dross of earthliness. I don't know about you, but whenever you put gold in the fire, it's to prove it so that it can become fine, refined gold. And so God has to break us. I don't like breaking, but when God breaks you, in order for him to use you, he has to break you because he has to get you to the point where you're not arguing with God. How many of us still argue with God? I know not you all. How many still want to negotiate with God? How many still fussing with God? How many are still asking God, why this way? God, why not this way? I don't know about you, but if I had it my way, I would not do it that way. And God said, that's why I don't want it your way, because if it was your way, you would never go through anything, and you would never become a tool that I can use. So when you are going through trials and going through circumstances and situations, it's because God wants to bring something out of you so he can use you to bless somebody else. Because the text says he took the bread, he blessed the bread, and then he breaks the bread. Now remember, you can't break bread unless it's in your hand. Don't miss that. He can't. In other words, in order for God to break you, you've got to be in the hand of God. So if you're experiencing brokenness right now, if you feel like you're down and out, you feel like you're going through something right now, let me remind you, it's because God has his hands all on you. And if God's hands on you, who can be against you? Greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. And I'm so glad that no weapon formed against us shall prosper. And if we just stay on the Lord's side and stand still and see the salvation of God, he will make a way out of no way. I promise you, he'll open doors that nobody can close, and he'll close doors nobody can open. God will make a way. The Bible says, let no man say when he's tempted, I'm tempted of God. God does not tempt us with evil, but we're tempted when we're drawn away with our own lusts. In order for us to be broken, God has to break us to get that stuff out of us so that when we see stuff like the world, it doesn't even draw our attention. We get to a point where we can look at it and keep on walking. See, right now, when we see stuff, we want to stay around it. Not you all, but you know, I remember growing up when we used to have after school fights. And when those school fights took place, everybody gathered around because they wanted to see the action. And the whole mob would move together because everybody felt like, I want to see what's going on. And you know what? When you become a child of God, you get to a point where you don't want to see what's going on. You want to trust the Lord and move away from stuff like that. But we're drawn to it now on Facebook and Instagram. We want to see it. Not you all, but we want to see the stuff because it's something on the inside. See, we've got to get to the point when we're going through even the stations and we're changing them and we see something to catch our eye. We got to keep on moving, but sometimes you want to rewind it and go back. That's because it's something on the inside of us. And even when you might be doing something and a word comes out that's not a good word, four-letter word, you know, you hammer in a nail and hit your head, bam, oh, I didn't mean that. You know, what's in us comes out of us. In other words, God has to allow what's in us to come out of us. And so the only way that can come out of us, trying moments have to happen in situations. And see what happens is, saints of God, trials reveal us. Spending time with God builds us. In other words, trials are only a revelation of what's going on the inside. And you will never know what you would do unless you're placed in that situation. So therefore, God allows that situation to happen so that you can see how undone, number one, and then how much you need him. The Bible says he took the bread. He blessed the bread. He broke the bread, and then ultimately, you know why God is doing this? It's because it's a way of giving you away. Notice what it says again. He took the bread. He broke the bread. He gave the bread away. And notice again. Listen. He took the bread. He blessed the bread. Then he broke it, and he gave it away. You know, your trials are not even for you. Your trials are for somebody else. God is using this situation to get you ready to bless somebody else. That's why this gospel should be preaching to all the world for a witness, and then shall the end come. In other words, God did all of this. He lost his cousin. He blessed some folk. And then after he blessed them, the disciples were there. They saw it all. And so the Bible says when they were there, seeing all of this happening, I mean, can you imagine somebody feeding 5,000 people with just two fish and five loaves? I don't know about you, but not the miracle even after that is that each disciple walked away with a basket themselves. I would have said, I don't care what happens now, I'm going to trust in the Lord. I don't care what happens now, I'm going to be with Jesus. If I saw Jesus do that, I know I can depend on him and I can lean on him. But let me ask, how many times has God opened doors and made a way and blessed us and we still forget about God's blessing? I mean, how many times have we had amnesia and we forget that God just opened that door? Remember the trial you thought you couldn't get out of? The situation that you were in, you thought you had no way out, and then all of a sudden, like a superhero, God swoops in, swoops down, and open up the door, and then the next problem we face, we begin to whine, and oh, Lord, what you gonna do? I'm gonna do what I always do. You just gotta stand still and hold your peace, and remember, I'll never leave you, and I'll never forsake you. And so now, with these disciples, watch what happens in our text. It says, there are a few things I want to share with you before I leave you. So they all ate and were filled. That's verse 20. They took up 12 baskets full of fragments that remained. Now, I don't know about you. They each had their own personal pan pizza. They each had their own lunch. And I would have walked away from that moment and said, I'm so glad I'm on the Lord's side. I'm so glad after seeing what God blessed for so many for so long, I now believe he can do something, meaning me. I know God can. I know God will. And I mean, that's what God did. He did all of this to give them the confidence to know that they could trust God. And notice, God, what he had to do was, in order for it would not go to their heads, he had to allow them now to go through something. And that's why God sometimes has to bring us down. That's why God has to allow us to go through something. And the word of God says in verse 22, now those who had eaten were about 5,000 men besides women and children. Now with two loaves, he took five loaves and two fish. I mean, we read that and we think that, oh, that's that. I mean, can you imagine five loaves, two fish, 5,000 people? And they just start breaking it. And it never stops. 5,000 people. And that's not including the men. They all ate, and there was a basket left over. I would have had so much pride in my heart to know that I'm with the right person at the right time, doing the right thing, and there's nobody can do me any harm. And that's how they felt. They had gotten, like, they were so happy about the blessing. They were so happy. And you know, all of us, we're up, we're blessed when God blesses us, and we're happy when he does. But notice what happens. The word of God says immediately, sometimes that's how life is, it switched so fast. Immediately, you can be up today and down tomorrow. Immediately, the tables can turn. Immediately, how fast situation can turn from night to day, from being up to down, to being out to in, or in to out, how fast it can happen. The word says, immediately, Jesus made his disciples get into a boat. Why? To go to the other side. But I want you to know that when Jesus put them in the boat, there was something he was doing. He did not want them to get so proud of themselves that they forget that they always need to lean on Jesus. And therefore, he said, get in the boat. And immediately they got in the boat. And when they sent the multitude away, he went up to pray on a mountain. And while he's on this mountain, the boat was now in the middle of the sea, tossed by waves, and the wind was contrary. Can you imagine now, from being able to see a man feed 5,000, gives you a command to get in a boat, and now you're in the midst of a storm? I want you to know, sometimes the very thing God asks us to do can land you in a storm. Sometimes obeying God can put you in uncomfortable situations. Obeying God sometimes is not convenient or easy. Obeying God sometimes can put you in a situation where it seems like you're about to lose your mind and you want to give up and say, God, why me? But you need to understand that when God told him to get in the boat, he went up to pray. And whenever God is praying, he always going to do something. I'm so glad Jesus told Peter, I prayed for you. And today, I want to remind you, there's a God right now praying for you. There's no situation that you're in by yourself. You have a savior, you have an intercessor, you have a mediator, you have a high priest that I'm praying for you. I've graven you on the palms of my hands. I'll never give you up. I'll never let you down. I'll never leave you nor forsake you. And so while they're in this boat, in the midst of a storm, while they're in the middle of the sea, tossed by waves, I want you to know, in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went to them. But before he went to them, walking on the sea, he saw them. There's no situation that you are ever in where Jesus doesn't see you. When he was in the mountain, now watch this. He's on the mountain. He tells them to get in the boat. He's on the mountain. They're in the sea, and they have already gone about a mile out in the sea. Now think about it. They've gone a mile out. Jesus said, I need y'all to get in the boat. Go ahead. I'm going to meet y'all on the other side. Now, I don't know how he's going to get to the other side, but Jesus can do anything but fail. God can show up in ways that will blow your mind. He said, I'm going to put y'all in the boat. Y'all go ahead to the other side. And the word says, while they were in the boat, a storm comes up, and Jesus on the mountain sees them from where he is. In other words, there's no circumstance you will ever be in that Jesus doesn't see you. There's no circumstance that you're going through right now in your life, whatever it is, when you might feel all by yourself. Jesus sees you, and he knows how much you can bear. He's touched with the feeling of your infirmities. You are not by yourself. I want to remind you that in life storms, you're not traveling by yourself. There is a God who loves you with an everlasting love, and he will not give you up. The word says the boat was now in the middle of the sea, and in the fourth watch, you know, this is about 3 o'clock, 6 a.m. in the morning. It's still dark. Now, you might wonder, if it's dark out there, they're in the sea, there's not much light, how could Jesus see them? In other words, darkness cannot hide us from God. There's no circumstance that can hide you from God. There is no trial. There is no predicament that can hide you from God. And I'm so glad today that God sees us. And notice what it says here. He sees them. The boat is in the storm. And when the disciples saw him, Jesus just comes down off the mountain. And the word of God says, while the storm is going on, your Jesus, my Jesus, walks out to them on the sea. Now, I can't imagine just walking on water that's, you know, water that's calm. But he's walking in a storm, and while he's walking in the storm, Jesus walks past the boat while they're in the storm and keep on walking. In other words, they thought it was a ghost, and they're pushing each other, saying, no, 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 and Jesus just keeps on walking. And when they noticed that it was Jesus, The Bible says, when he noticed that was Jesus, and Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it's you, command me to come out. And Peter jumped out and started walking, but then he lost his mind because he turned his eyes off of Jesus, and he began to seek, and immediately Jesus stretched out his hands. What do we learn from this? Number one, we know that when Jesus sent them out there, I want you to remember that whatever circumstance God is sending you through, he already sees it. For instance, we don't know what's going to happen this week. We don't know what storms we're going to face this week. We don't know what trials we're going to face this week. We don't know what burdens we'll have to carry this week. But I want you to know that Jesus already sees the storms. He already sees how he already knows what lays ahead of us, and he knows what's before us. And if we would understand that, we would know that there's no situation that he will ever send us into without provision and protection. I can walk confidently now, knowing what the Bible says. Jesus saw them. He knew where they were, and he allowed them to go into the storm in the first place because he already knew how he was going to deal with it. You know, God already knows how he's going to bring you out. He already knows how he's going to work that thing out. And we are scratching our heads wondering, you might be having financial problems. You might have social problems. You might have problems in your home that you don't know how you're going to work it out. You might have problems with your family members. You don't know how it's going to work out. But I want you to know that because Jesus already knows, he already has a solution. And if we just have enough sense to turn to him and call out to him, help like Peter did, God will reach down. He will stretch out his arm of faith, and he will pull us out of our situation. Number one. Number two, when he allowed us to go into a situation, it's for our own training. That's right. It's for our own training. I know you don't like the curriculum called 101 character building. I know we don't like it. I don't know about you. I don't like it. I mean, going through trials. I mean, right now, there's some things I'm faced with that I'm wondering, how are we going to do it? And all I've got to learn how to do is stand still. I got to learn how to trust in the Lord. I've got to learn how to keep my hand on the plow. I've got to learn how to keep on keeping on when I can't keep on. I've got to learn how to trust him when I can't trace him. I got to learn how to keep my faith stayed on the... In other words, you got to learn how to have staying power. In other words, God will not let us down, but we will let him down. And when we let go of God, that's when 100% of our problems happen. We're going to say not just a few of them, but all of them. When we let go of God in our training situation, what is God taking you through right now? Think about it. What circumstance do you find yourself in right now? Think about it. What is God allowing to happen? Because, see, when it happens, God allows it. And just because he allows it doesn't mean that he approved it. He may allow it. But sometimes he didn't want you to go through that pain. He didn't want you to go through that heartache. He didn't want you to experience that breakup. He didn't want you to experience that sickness. He didn't want you to experience that problem. No, but when God permits it, he allows it. But even in allowing it, he makes provision so that he can make a way out of no way to bring us out. So in our training, God wants us to understand that there's a calling on your life. You've got to realize that. In other words, God didn't miss. When he called you and you responded, he put his finger on you. He didn't miss. It's you, oh my. It's you. It's because he loved you. And he put his call on your life. And when God calls you, anytime you're being drawn to God, you're going to go through growing pains because you're coming closer to an almighty God. And he is holy. He's righteous. He's altogether lovely. And the word says, without holiness, no man shall see God. So can you imagine a sinner being drawn to God, and the closer you get to him, the more you're going to see how undone and unwretched you are, and you're going to cry out like Isaiah, woe is me, I am undone, I'm unfinished, I've got a problem, I got an issue, and I need you, oh God. And that's why he allowed training to take place. In the case of the lashing winds, not only will he allow the training, but God will create an environment. Yes, he will. He will create an environment where you're in that situation for you to learn how to trust him. You see, when everything going good, you know what we do? I call them knee swipes. You know, I don't know about you, but I'm guilty of this from time to time. When everything going fine, you know how we pray? It's called knee swipes. This is what we pray. Amen. Keep on going. Y'all missed that. That was it. When everything is going good and life is not pressuring you, there's no trials and no training and no tests and no circumstances. We get up in the morning and all we can say is, Jesus wept. Amen. Keep me in. But when life throws you a curve and when life starts getting rough, we prostrate ourselves and we lay ourselves before the Lord and we hold on to God, calling out on the name of Jesus. And sometimes he allowed trials to come so you can lean on him, so you can trust him more and more. And I'm telling you, I'm learning how to lean more and more because trials become intense, pressure becomes intense, and God creates that environment in order for us to learn the key lesson about trust. Do you trust God? Do you take him at his word? Do you understand that he will never leave you? Instead of keeping our heads bent low against the struggles of life, we need to look to the Lord and seek strength and purpose. We need to do like Peter and call out on the name of the Lord. And your prayer doesn't have to be eloquent. Your prayer doesn't have to be incredible. All you got to do is say, help! And God hears you, whatever you're going through right now. If you just call out, help me, God. God answers prayers. God will come through. God will open up a door. If he can make a lion fast, if he can take fire, the heat out of fire, if he can open up a Red Sea, if he can allow those who were blind see and those who were deaf hear, I'm sure God can help us right now. Whatever your situation is, call on him. And the Bible says, once they did this, the word of God says, and when they got into the boat, the wind ceased. See, once the Lord is in your life, the storms will stop. And some storms are happening because we don't have him on board. And right now, Jesus is saying to each one of us, are you ready for me to come into your life right now? Are you ready for me to ride this thing out, to be in the storm with you? Well, today he wants to come in, and the word says, as I close, then those who were in the boat came and worshiped him, saying, truly, you are the Son of God. In other words, it had to take a storm. It had to take training. It had to take circumstances. It had to take an environment that went against their own temperament for them to recognize that in the storm, they can trust God no matter what. And that's what's happening here in Matthew 14. Number one, Jesus knew when he told them to get in the boat to go to the other side that there was a storm waiting. God knows right now what storms you and I are going to face. And if we would trust God, lean on God, and understand that he's about to create an environment that will cause us to learn to lean on him. And understand that when he creates this environment, it's for our training. That he might develop us. That he might pull out of us those things that are not like Christ. Because one day, very soon, the clouds gonna roll back. And Jesus, who shall come, will come. And when he comes back, he's coming back as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And I'm so glad that when he comes back, we all will be able to say, because we walk by faith and not by sight. And we'll be able to look up and say, lo, this is our God. We waited for him. I don't know about you, but I can't wait to go to glory. I can't wait to walk on streets of gold. I can't wait to open up pearly gates. I can't wait to put on that crown and put on that robe. I can't wait to be in a place where I never have to die. And the Bible says the tree, the leaves are for the healing of the nation, and the fruit don't change every month. I'm so glad that he promised us a place. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me, for in my Father's house there are many mansions. I go to prepare a place for you. In other words, this is not the end of the road, and the stories that we go through and the trials that we experience are only temporary. The word says it this way, weeping may endure for the night, but joy gonna come in the morning. If you can just hold on and just a little while longer, the word of God says he that shall come will come, and he's coming back not as a baby, but he's coming back as a conquering king, King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and he will have the last say. I don't care whether you're Republican or Democrat. I don't care whether you voted or you didn't vote. And as we all know that we're in some terrible times, we're in a storm. Yes, some things about to brew. Yes, some things about to happen. And we don't know what the future holds, but I do know who holds the future. And if we would just trust the Lord and keep our eyes stayed on him and walk by faith and never give up and keep on keeping on, press towards the high, press towards, in other words, Paul said, I press towards the mark. I push, and eventually, finally, Paul says, I fought a good fight. I finished my course. I kept my faith. Therefore, there's a crown laid up for me, and not only for me, but all those who love his appearing. Today, don't you want him to come into your life? Don't you want him to calm your storms? If you do, why don't you stand with me today? If you want to say, yes, Lord, please calm my storms and life difficulties, in the ups and the downs, in the trials and tribulations, in the burdens, in the problems, in the situation that I'm going to, I don't know what your storm going to be like, but I can tell you some storms are coming. I don't know what it's going to look like. I don't know what it looks like, but I can guarantee you, if you trust the Lord, if you make your mind up with your volition and your choice and say, I'm going to walk with the Lord, I'm going to ask God to do it for me. I'm going to ask the Lord to go before me and make a way out of no way. I'm going to ask him to pave me like a Red Sea experience, make it dry so I can walk through my storm, so I can walk through my trials. And God will do it. God will do it today. As I close today, I just want you to make sure you have made your calling and election sure. There's some storms coming. Trials going to come. And they're given in the school of Christ to do what? Purify us. And today, if you trust the Lord and you walk by faith and you keep your eyes stayed on him and understand the storms of life are not meant to kill you, they're meant to help you grow. They're meant to help you lean on him. No matter what we go through, he will never leave us. Today, there may be an individual who want to say, Lord, I want to be a member of this church. I want to be baptized. I want to walk with the Lord all the way. Last Sabbath, I know some individuals made decisions. I was able to reach out to Octavia and Nyla. And there may be others who want to say, yes, Lord, I want to walk by faith. There's a baptism next month in December. And I need to be baptized. I need to become a part of Message of Hope. And I want to give the Lord my life because I know things are going to get rough. And outside of Jesus, there's no safety zone. If there's such a person, you just want to raise your hand and say, yes, Lord, I want to give you my life. I want to walk all the way. I want to walk by faith. I want to trust in the Lord. I want to keep him in my heart. I'm praying for us. And even after this service, if you still want to say yes to the Lord, it's not over yet. This is just the appeal. Don't let the harvest pass and my soul be lost. Don't let time run out on you. Get ready before it's too late. Trust the Lord. He wants to save us. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for your incredible, awesome word. Lord, we know storms come, problems come, the ebb and flow of life. Sometimes we're up and sometimes we're down. But Lord, in the midst of it, you have promised us a guarantee. I'm with you. And when storms begin to beat upon your house, I'll lift up a standard. I'll make a way, because I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one can come to the Father but by me. And if you would just stand still and trust me, and remember that without faith, it's impossible to please God. He that come to God must believe. And right now, we're standing because, oh, Lord, we believe. By faith, we believe. By faith, we believe. So I pray that you'll cover everyone that's standing, those who are watching online, Father. I pray that decision, that number that's on that line, they can call in. May we all realize that we need you, and that when you come into our lives, we'll never be the same. Thank you, Father, for the assurance that you promised us. You're coming back one day. And when you come back, you're coming back for people who made a covenant with you by sacrifice. We thank you, we bless you, we honor you, we love you, because you are amazing, God. Thank you for being so caring, so compassionate. Now bless us until this end, until we meet again, Father. We pray that you'll keep us. And throughout the remaining hours of this Sabbath day, may your spirit go with us. We ask it in the wonderful, matchless name of Jesus. Amen and amen. God bless you. Please be seated. Please be seated for a moment. Amen. I believe the praise team coming back to sing. I'm going to ask them to come and ask the praise team to come back and sing us out of here. Come on, praise team. Bless us with something as the Lord moves upon your spirit. Come on and sing something for us as we leave. We have haystacks following this service. We want to invite you to stay by, those of you who can. And we want you to know that we're glad and elated that you are here today. And may God bless you.